OHCHR.org. Born free and equal. Sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics in international human rights law, second edition. This is the United Nations Human Rights Office of the High Commissioner. This was in 2019 published. So this is the foreword. All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. This affirmation united in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is the cornerstone of international human rights law and at the heart of the mission of the United Nations. Simply put, human rights are for everyone without exception. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, intersex, two-spirit, androgynous, queer, asexual, allosexual, LGBTQI plus people are just as entitled to protection, respect, and fulfillment of their human rights as everyone else, including protection from discrimination, violence, and torture. Despite these universal standards, for more than 25 years, the United Nations and regional and national human rights bodies have documented widespread violations and abuses targeting LGBTQI plus people in all regions of the world. Such instances include brutal beatings, sexual violence and killings, incitement to hatred, criminalization, arbitrary detention and imprisonment, abuses in detention and medical settings, widespread stigma, harassment, bullying, and discrimination at work and at home, as well as in education, health, housing, and accessing public services. These horrific human rights violations must end. All United Nations member states have committed to upholding universal human rights standards, including through ratifying legally binding treaties. United Nations Human Rights Council has expressed concern over violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity multiple times, and in 2016 appointed an independent expert to investigate and report on the issue. A sizable majority of member states have also made specific commitments to combat violence and discrimination against LGBTQ+ people as part of the Universal Periodic Review. Recent years have seen uneven progress, advances for LGBTQ+ persons in a growing number of countries, more limited progress on the rights of trans people, increased awareness, but few concrete measures to protect the rights of intersex people. In some countries, there have been worrying setbacks, including increases in hate speech, expanded discriminatory legislation, and expansion of arbitrary arrests, violence, and discrimination. The first edition of this publication was issued in 2012 at a time of growing awareness across the United Nations of human rights violations against LGBTQ+ persons. This revised and updated edition takes into account developments since 2012, including decisions by the United Nations and regional and national human rights bodies. It sets out the source and scope of the legal obligations of member states in respect of the rights of LGBTQ+ people, with reference to international human rights standards and guidance issued by authoritative bodies. It also integrates for the first time recommendations in respect of the rights of intersex persons. I'm confident that this revised edition will assist states as well as national human rights institutions, civil society organizations, and other stakeholders in joining forces to end violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity and sex characteristics. This is signed by Michelle Bachelet, United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. Introduction. This is September 25th, 2018. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says, so long as people face criminalization, bias, and violence based on their sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics, we must redouble our efforts to end these violations. The struggle to bring greater international scrutiny to the human rights plight of LGBTQI plus people reached a landmark moment in 2016 with the decision of the United Nations Human Rights Council to create a dedicated special procedures mandate, an independent expert on protection from violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The independent expert has many tasks, including investigating and reporting on human rights violations against LGBTQ+ people, assessing compliance with applicable international human rights instruments in this context, and making recommendations to states and other stakeholders as appropriate. The mandate builds on the work of existing United Nations human rights mechanisms, including special procedures and treaty bodies, the majority of which has addressed these issues to some extent in the context of their own respective mandates. The establishment of this mandate follows several years of increasing interest across the United Nations human rights system on the issue of human rights, sexual orientation, and gender identity. In 2011-2014, the Human Rights Council passed resolutions in which it expressed concern regarding violence and discrimination against LGBTQ+ persons and requested reports from the High Commissioner for Human Rights. The High Commissioner's two reports published in 2012 and 2015 respectively pointed to a pattern of systematic violence and discrimination directed at LGBTQ+ people in all regions, from discrimination in employment, healthcare protection, to criminalization and targeted physical attacks, even killings. The reports contain recommendations addressed to states designed to strengthen protection of the human rights of LGBTQ+ persons. There has been an increase in awareness and attention paid to the human rights of intersex people over the last few years. A milestone was celebrated in September 2015 with the first United Nations expert meeting on ending human rights violations against intersex persons in a joint call by United Nations and regional human rights experts in October 2016 for governments to prohibit human rights violations committed against intersex children. United Nations special procedures and treaty bodies are increasingly raising concerns about abuses against intersex people and recommending that states address these issues. The legal obligations of states to safeguard the human rights of LGBTQ+ people are well established in international human rights law on the basis of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, international human rights treaties, and customary international law. All people, irrespective of sexual orientation, gender identity, or sex characteristics, are entitled to enjoy the protections provided by international human rights law, including rights to life, security of person and privacy, the right to be free from torture, arbitrary arrest and detention, the right to be free from discrimination, equality before the law, and the right to freedom of expression, association, and peaceful assembly. The purpose of this publication is to set out the core obligations that states have toward LGBTQI+ persons and describe how United Nations mechanisms have applied international law in these contexts. For more than two decades, United Nations human rights treaty bodies and special procedures have documented violations of the human rights of LGBTQI+ people and more recently intersex people, and analyze state compliance with international human rights law. The sections that follow summarize their findings in advance to help states take the necessary steps to meet their fundamental human rights obligations. The publication consists of five core sections based on issues that have appeared most frequently in the work of United Nations human rights experts to date. Each section sets forth a state obligation, the relevant international human rights law, and the views of human rights treaty bodies and special procedures. Excerpts from their reporting give examples of the kinds of abuses experienced and paint a broad picture of widespread conditions of violence and discrimination. Each section concludes with a summary of recommendations to states. This is a revised edition of data to take into account developments in the jurisprudence and recommendations of the United Nations Human Rights Mechanism since the publication of the first edition by the Office of United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, OHCHR. In 2012, a sister publication, Living Free and Equal, examines state practice and implementation of the human rights of LGBTQI+ people. The protection of people on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics does not require the establishment of new or special rights for LGBTQI+ people. Rather, it requires enforcement of existing rights, including the universally applicable guarantee of non-discrimination. The prohibition against discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics is not limited to international human rights law. Courts in many countries have frequently held that such discrimination also violates domestic law. These issues have been taken up by most United Nations agencies and regional human rights systems, including the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights, the African Commission on Human and People's Rights, and the Council of Europe. This has resulted in increased collaboration between United Nations and regional experts on this topic, emphasizing common normative approaches, ensuring good practices on how to promote and protect the human rights of LGBTQ+ people. Addressing these concerns is not only a legal obligation, but more than 115 states, a significant majority of the membership of the United Nations, have made voluntary commitments to address violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in the context of the Universal Periodic Review. The principle of non-discrimination is cross-cutting, and the obligations on the part of states are immediate and inescapable. Simply put, people may not be discriminated against in the enjoyment of rights on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics. As the High Commissioner has stated, the struggle for the rights of LGBTQ+ people is a core part of the human rights struggle. Definitions. Gender identity. Gender identity reflects a deeply felt and experienced sense of one's own gender. Most people have a gender identity, which is part of their overall identity. A person's gender identity may or may not be aligned with the sex assigned to them at birth. Trans and transgender are both umbrella terms used to describe people with a wide range of gender expressions and identities, including transsexual people, people who cross-dress, people who identify as third gender, people who identify outside of the male/female gender binary, and others whose appearance and characteristics are perceived as gender atypical and whose sense of their own gender is different to the sex that they were assigned at birth. Some transgender people seek surgery or take hormones to bring their body into alignment with their gender identity. Others do not. Trans people may have any sexual orientation and sex characteristics. Cisgender, sometimes shortened to CIS, is a term used to describe people whose sense of their own gender is aligned with the sex they were assigned at birth. Some people identify as agender / reject the idea of a fixed gender identity Gender expression is the way in which we express our gender through actions and appearance, including dress, speech, and mannerisms. A person's gender expression is not always linked to the person's biological sex, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Intersex/sex characteristics. Sex characteristics refers to each person's physical characteristics relating to sex, including genitalia and other reproductive anatomy. Chromosomes and hormones and secondary physical characteristics emerging from puberty. Intersex people are born with physical sex characteristics that do not fit the normative definitions for male or female bodies. For some intersex people, these are apparent at birth, while for others they emerge later in life, often at puberty. Intersex persons may have any sexual orientation and gender identity. Sexual orientation. Sex orientation refers to a person's physical, romantic, and slash emotional attraction towards other people. Most people have a sexual orientation which is part of their identity. Gay men and lesbian women are attracted to individuals of the same sex as themselves. Heterosexual people are attracted to individuals of a different sex from themselves. Bisexual, sometimes shortened to bi, bi. Bisexual people may be attracted to individuals of the same or different sex. Lesbian, gay, and bisexual people may have any gender identity or sex characteristics. Sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics are not the same. I want to clarify bisexual. You're attracted to the same and different sex. So bisexual people may be attracted to individuals of the same and different sex. Sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics are not the same. They are each distinct but intersecting aspects of a person. It is important to respect people's choice of terms, names, and pronouns to refer to themselves. While this publication predominantly uses the terms lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex, many of the practices, gaps, and challenges highlighted herein are also relevant to addressing violence and discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics against people identified with or use other terms. While lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex people face different challenges, they share a common, I'll just say LGBT, while LGBTQ plus people face different challenges, they share a common risk of human rights violations because they have identities, expressions, behaviors, or bodies that are perceived to transgress dominant gender norms and roles, including the binary system of male slash female. This publication addresses their situations together. LGBTQ+ people are diverse populations that not only must contend with human rights violations on the basis of their sexual orientation, gender identity, and slash or sex characteristics, but also face multiple intersecting discrimination and violence based on skin color, ethnic origin, sex, gender, disability, age, migratory status, family status, nationality, religion, health status, income level, and other grounds. Indeed, abuse, violence, and discrimination become more rife, or IFE, where such factors interplay and are compounded. So, summary of recommendations, the five steps. One, protect LGBTQ+ people from violence. Include sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics as protected grounds and laws on hate crime and incitement to violence. Ensure violent acts are properly recorded and investigated, perpetrators prosecuted, and victims provided with redress. Recognize that persecution on account of one's sexual orientation, gender identity, or sex characteristics may be a valid basis for an asylum claim. Two, prevent the torture and ill treatment of LGBTQ+ persons, including degrading physical examinations, so-called conversion therapy, forced or coerced sterilization of transgender persons, and medically unnecessary procedures performed on intersex children and adults without their consent. Prohibit and investigate all such acts, punish perpetrators, and provide redress to victims. Ensure places of deprivation of liberty are regularly monitored by independent bodies. Provide appropriate training to healthcare providers and law enforcement officers. Three, repeal laws that criminalize LGBTQ+ persons, including laws criminalizing consensual same-sex relations and expression of gender identity, and other laws used to harass, arbitrarily detain, prosecute, and discriminate against persons on the basis of their actual or perceived gender identity or expression or sexual orientation. Ensure that individuals are not arrested or detained on the basis of their sexual orientation or gender identity or expression. Four, prohibit and address discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics by enacting relevant comprehensive legislation and policies, legally recognize same-sex couples and their children without discrimination, and ensure that transgender persons can obtain legal recognition of their gender identity through a simple administrative process without abusive requirements. Ensure non-discriminatory access to basic services, education, employment, housing, and healthcare. reform outdated medical classifications that brand LGBTQ+ people as quote-unquote ill or quote-unquote disordered, combat stigma and discrimination, including through training, education, awareness-raising activities for public officials and the general public, consult LGBTQ+ people on legislation and policies that affect their rights. And five, safeguard freedom of expression, peaceful assembly, and association for LGBTQ+ people. Any limitations on these rights must be compatible with international human rights law, including on non-discrimination. Protect individuals who exercise their rights to freedom of expression and freedom of peaceful assembly and association, including human rights defenders, from acts of violence and discrimination by public officials and private parties, and prosecute such acts when they occur. Core legal obligations of states with respect to protecting the human rights of LGBTQ+ persons. The application of international human rights law is guided by the fundamental principles of universality, equality, and non-discrimination as framed by Article 1 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which states all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. These core principles are reaffirmed through international human rights covenants and treaties, many of which contain open-ended provisions against discrimination, and have been interpreted to include discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, and sex characteristics. States are obliged to respect, protect, and fulfill the human rights of all persons within their jurisdiction, including LGBTQ+ persons. These obligations extend to refraining from interference in the enjoyment of rights, preventing abuses by state agencies and officials, private corporations and individuals, monitoring, investigating, and combating such abuses when they occur, and providing remedy to victims. States must also proactively tackle barriers to the enjoyment of human rights, including violence and discriminatory attitudes and practices. In this context, states should take steps to address stigma and prejudice, including through education, training, and public information campaigns. States should also collect, analyze, and publish data on violence and discrimination against LGBTQ+ individuals and consult with relevant organizations representative of LGBTQ+ communities in shaping policy responses. United Nations human rights experts, including a wide range of treaty monitoring bodies and special procedures, have repeatedly drawn attention to infringements on the rights of LGBTQ+ persons and provided recommendations on how states can fulfill obligations under international human rights law in this area. For example, in numerous observations, the Human Rights Committee, the body of United Nations experts tasked by states with monitoring compliance with the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, has repeatedly urged states' parties to guarantee equal rights to all individuals as established in the covenant, regardless of their sexual orientation or gender identity, and called on states to address violence and discrimination against LGBTQ+ people. The Committee on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights, which monitors compliance with International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights, has affirmed that the non-discrimination guarantee of the covenant includes sexual orientation, gender identity, and intersex status. It has reflected this in general comments relating to the rights to sexual reproductive health, work, water, social security, and health, as well as in a general comment on the general meaning of the non-discrimination guaranteed. The Committee on the Rights of the Child also interprets the right to non-discrimination, Article 2 of the Convention on the Rights of the Child, to include sexual orientation, gender identity, and intersex status / sex characteristics, and has regularly addressed violations of the rights of children who are perceived to be LGBTQI+. The Committee Against Torture has also underscored that state obligations under the Convention Against Torture apply to all persons regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity, or sex characteristics, and reaffirm the obligation of states to prevent and address torture and ill treatment against LGBTQ+ people. The Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women has emphasized the intersectionality of all forms of discrimination and has addressed human rights violations against lesbian, bi, trans, and intersex women. The Committee on Migrant Workers has expressed concern about violence against LGBTQ+ people and discriminatory migration provisions based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The Committee on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities has expressed concern about discrimination against LGBTQI+ people with disabilities and sterilization of the procedures on intersex children. The Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination has expressed concern with regard to discrimination faced by LGBTQI+ people of African descent. State obligations to respect, protect, and fulfill the human rights of LGBTQI+ persons do not only derive from treaties. Some of these obligations also derive from customary international law. This includes preemptory norms of international law, such as the absolute prohibition against torture and other acts of cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment. A number of United Nations and other human rights experts have also elaborated the Yogyakarta Carter principles on the application of international human rights law in relation to sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, and sex characteristics. The next chapters examine in greater detail the five core obligations of states to protect, respect, and fulfill the human rights of LGBTQ+ people on the basis of existing international human rights norms and standards. 1. Protect individuals from violence. Hate-motivated violence against LGBTQ+ people is perpetrated by both state and non-state actors, whether police, private individuals, families, organized groups, or extremist organizations. Okay, hate-motivated violence against LGBTQ+ people is perpetrated by both state and non-state actors, whether police, private individuals, families, organized groups, or extremist organizations. Failure by state authorities to investigate and punish this kind of violence is a breach of states' obligation to protect everyone's right to life, liberty, and security of person as guaranteed by international human rights norms and standards, including the non-exhaustive list below. Use of the death penalty and violence, which is tantamount to torture or ill treatment, is dealt with in following chapters. Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 3, everyone has the right to life, liberty, and security of person. Article 14, everyone has the right to seek and to enjoy in other countries asylum from persecution. International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, Article 6, every human being has the inherent right to life. This right shall be protected by law. No one shall be arbitrarily deprived of their lives. Article 9. Everyone has the right to liberty and security of person. Convention on the Rights of the Child. Article 19. State parties shall take all appropriate legislative, administrative, social, and educational measures to protect the child from all forms of physical or mental violence, injury or abuse, neglect or negligent treatment, maltreatment or exploitation, including sexual abuse, while in the care of parents and or a parent, legal guardian or legal guardians, or another person who has the care of the child. Convention Against Torture. Article 3, no state party shall expel, return, or extradite a person to another state where there are substantial grounds for believing that they would be in danger of being subjected to torture. Convention relating to the status of refugees, Article 33. No contracting state shall expel or return refouler. Oh. So that's what return refouler. Okay. Because they also put that word in the Convention Against Torture, Article 31. Okay. Article 33, this is convention relating to the status of refugees. No contracting state shall expel or return refouler. I'm sorry, it's refouler. Let me read a couple of these again. I'm really sorry. Convention Against Torture, Article 3. No state party shall expel, return, refouler, in parentheses, quotations, or extradite a person to another state where there are substantial grounds for believing that they would be in danger of being subjected to torture. They say he, but can't use he for the obvious reasons. Convention relating to the status of refugees. Article 33, no contracting state shall expel or return, parentheses, refouler, a refugee in any manner whatsoever to the frontiers of territories where their lives or freedoms will be threatened on account of their race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group or political opinion. Declaration on the Elimination of Violence Against Women. Article 4, states should condemn violence against women and should not invoke any custom, tradition, or religious consideration to avoid their obligations with respect to its elimination. States should pursue by all appropriate means and without delay a policy of eliminating violence against women. A. Positions taken by United Nations Human Rights Mechanisms. The United Nations Human Rights Committee has emphasized that states have an obligation to take appropriate measures to prevent and respond to acts of violence, as well as to protect individuals from foreseeable threats to life or bodily integrity proceeding from state or private actors. LGBTQ+ individuals in all regions are at a particular risk of targeted violence at the hands of private actors. Such violence may be physical or psychological, including murder, beatings, kidnapping, rape, and sexual assault, threats, coercion, arbitrary deprivations of liberty. Violence against LGBTQ+ persons extends into the family sphere and includes physical assault and sexual violence by family members and violence committed in the name of culture, religion, and tradition. These attacks constitute a form of gender-based violence driven by a desire to punish those seen as defying gender norms. LGBTQ+ people also face violence and ill-treatment in medical settings and in a detention setting, see Chapter 2. B. Targeted killings. The state obligation to protect life requires the state exercise due diligence. B. Targeted killings. The state obligation to protect life requires that the state exercise due diligence in preventing, punishing, and redressing deprivations of life by public and private parties, including in instances where the victim has been targeted on grounds of their sexual orientation, gender identity, or expression, or sex characteristics. States have obligations under international law to prevent extrajudicial executions and investigate such killings and bring those responsible to justice. United Nations General Assembly has called on states to ensure the protection of the right to life of all persons under their jurisdiction and investigate promptly and thoroughly all killings, including those motivated by the victims of sexual orientation or gender identity. Any failure of a state to exercise due diligence in this regard is a breach of its obligations under international law. Murders of individuals targeted because of their sexual orientation or gender identity are well documented by human rights treaty bodies and special procedures. For example, in the case of Uruguay, the Human Rights Committee expressed consternation of the violent death of at least 5 transsexual women in 2012 under circumstances that could be regarded as indicative of a pattern of violence based on gender identity. In a report focused on gender-related killings, a special rapporteur on violence against women reported that LGBTQ+ persons are especially vulnerable to many kinds of violent crime, from killings in private homes to killings in public spaces known as quote-unquote social cleansing. The special rapporteur on extrajudicial summary or arbitrary executions has regularly drawn attention to persons being subjected to death threats or killed because of sexual orientation. In the 2014 report on his mission to Mexico, the special reporter on execution stated that he was alerted to an alarming pattern of grotesque homicides of LGBTQI+ individuals and broad impunity for their perpetration, sometimes with the suspected complicity of investigative authorities. Several interlocutors say that between 2005 and March 2013, 555 homicides targeting the sexual orientation or gender identity of the victim were recorded. Sharp weapons are apparently used to kill in many of the cases, and the victims' bodies often show deep cuts and further signs of torture, including anal rape and genital mutilation. The United Nations has drawn attention to the particular intense and brutal nature of violence against exercised against transgender persons, noting that killings of transgender persons are inflicted with severe violence and are charged with a strong emotional component of anger or rage. United Nations human rights experts have also documented lethal attacks against defenders of the human rights of LGBTQ+ persons in different regions. See also chapter. Chapter 5. LGBTQ+ people are among the victims of killing culture, tradition, or religion carried out against those seen by family or community members as having brought quote-unquote shame or quote-unquote dishonor on a family, often being perceived to transgress gender norms for sexual behavior, including actual or assumed same-sex sexual activity are based on sex characteristics. While women are generally the targets of this sort of punishment, these attacks can be directed at individuals of any gender or sex. The special repertoire on torture has noted that in some cases, taboo and stigma lead to the killing of intersex infants. United Nations Security Council, the High Commissioner for Human Rights, the Committee on the Rights of the Child, and the Independent Commission of Inquiry on Syria have all expressed alarm that at the target of killing of LGBTQ+ people by terrorists and armed groups operating in conflict-affected areas. In August 2015, the Security Council held a special meeting to discuss extrajudicial executions of LGBTQ+ individuals by Islamic State, also known as Daesh, ISIS, and ISIL. And in June 2016, the Council issued a statement condemning the mass shooting at the Pulse Club in Orlando, United States, noted that individuals were targeted as a result of their sexual orientation. The special rapporteur on extrajudicial executions has encouraged governments to renew efforts to protect the security and right to life of LGBTQ+ persons and to thoroughly, promptly, effectively, and impartially investigate acts of murder and death threats without discrimination. I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to say that I am elated that there's an international sensitivity to the very community that you all know that I'm a part of. I must say, I meant to say this in the last episode, then I'll get back. I'm a giver and a receiver of all this. When it comes to all sexual positions and all sexual acts, all sexual activities, I'm a giver and receiver. Meaning whatever I do sexually, I want it done to me. Meaning, when I say whatever I do sexually to another, I want it done to me. Whatever I say sexually to another, I want that said to me. Whatever I feel sexually to another, I want that sexually felt toward me. Whatever I think sexually to another, I want that sexually thought to me. So, all things sexual that I engage in, I am a receiver as well as a gig. Okay. On screen, off screen, you both, and y'all know what that means. Okay. So let me get back to the serious topic. So I'm very grateful that there's international sensitivity to the very community that I'm part of, as you already know, like I already said. Let me expand more. I come to recognize that for many years, here was the process like. In 2013, I privately, openly, when I say privately, openly, meaning I'm honest with myself, by myself, that I was bi-curious. A year later, it turned into bisexual. 3 years later, 2017, it became pansexual because I started understanding the word pansexual that Miley Cyrus used that goes along with her self-description. And then as time went on, I got to understand it more by hearing Janelle Monáe using the word pansexuality for her self-description too. And so 3 years later, 2021, which has already passed, as we know, pangender, queer, non-binary came into full effect for me in terms of more honesty. And the other types of self-descriptions, I did a previous episode about that. You can check that one out. And, you know, the gender identity one and the sexuality ones I did, that previous episode will tell you that 2021, those are the other descriptions I gave myself as I was honest about what I am and what I'm not. All those identities came through as late as 2021 as well. So I was afraid of being publicly non-heterosexual, and I was afraid of being publicly non-cisgender because of the violent crimes that happen to people who are so open. And I was afraid of that even more because of my triple X career in the future, and you already know what that means. But I don't live in fear anymore. What helped you to stop living in fear? People would ask me. I would say, because I'm not those fears, and those fears are not me. I said, I will protect myself, and because I am such an innerly beautiful person, I have the well protection of the many others. That's not a diss against those who lack those things and the violent crimes happen. I'm just saying that because I stand for human justice and I do it unapologetically, that there will be an international safeguarding of me that is exceptionally well, because I shouldn't be the only person that is exceptionally well at protecting me. Even though I am, it shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be the case that I only protect me well, you know? So I just wanted to really say that I'm glad I came across this. I agree with the recommendations. I agree with the five core obligations. And the reason why I'm taking a stand is because I grew up in a religious community where non-heterosexuality, non-cisgenderism were both harshly condemned. But I decided to speak out because I said, well, justice should not experience the injustice of being overlooked. And second, the church, they would, and from my background, they would condemn non-heterosexuality and non-cisgenderism, but they never condemned hate crimes against the LGBTQ+ community that I belong to. I believe that in terms of all the gender identities, all the sexual orientations that I told you about in previous episodes, I believe that I was born those ways. Those ways are natural, normal, healthy, harmless for me. Even if they were choices, they are harmless choices when it comes to me. And those ways about me are not choices and are not sins. So I believe that every truth I ever tell you, whether it was the past, whether that's the present, whether that's the future, I see that all things me means that I was born those ways. It's all natural, all
normal, all healthy, all harmless choices. When I say choice, I'm talking about me being open about those things and me living joyful about those things. Let me say it again. All things me, in terms of all the truths I tell you, past, present, and future, are about me being born in all those ways, being natural in all those ways, being normal in all those ways, being healthy in all those ways, being harmless in all those ways. None of those ways are choices. None of those ways are sins. Even if they were all choices, they're all harmless choices, all relating to me. Okay? So I also wanted to get out the fact that a lot of times, what you hear in our society is people think hate crimes cure a community, in quotations, or they say hate crimes decimates, you know, hate crimes gets rid of a community that they detest. I just think that that is human depravity, human cruelty, human barbarity as well. So I just want to say thank you. Anyway, I got to say this is part one.